Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Because of God's goodness, because of all that God's doing for us, He never changes. He's always good. He's always going to give you what you need for the time of temptation, because He will end up giving you wisdom. He'll pour it out on you as much as you need when you're going through trials.
That was Pastor Marty Herring, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herring continues his series from the book of James today, and we return to chapter 1. We'll take a look at the third mark of a difference maker, responsiveness to the Word.
Statue of Liberty was dedicated in the late 1800s. Bell Telephone Company was started up. A family that left Minnesota, who moved to Oklahoma and started making investments in the oil fields, which was a brand new venture at the time, led to an oil company was established. Out of that, they had a number of children, the Getty family, and they had a young boy named Jean-Paul, who was quite intrigued by it all and invested his own monies, and eventually he became known as the wealthiest man in the world, certainly our country. He had invested in oil fields, as his father did. He eventually ended up at 25 deciding to take some time off. He moved to Hollywood and basically, by his own account, became a playboy. He spent lots of money, lived for pleasureful things, for 2 years that way. He was 25 years old. And he went back to work, and eventually he ended up, because of all of his wealth, people began preying on him for monies and trying to take advantage of him. And so he began communicating and really kind of kidding himself, thinking that he really didn't have anything. He started wearing old clothes and baggy pants and worn out sweaters. He had a huge mansion over in England, put a payphone in the main huge house. This is the type of living he had. He put locks on all of the phones, and he had one payphone. And he was the first American icon that people got very intrigued about. He was kind of like how people were so intrigued about Michael Jackson and how he lived and what he spent and how and who was he. That's how people looked at Jean-Paul Getty, and one of the first Americans that people were so intrigued by. He eventually did die and was worth $4.2 billion. The reason I was intrigued by him was because he decided in his earlier years that he was going to make investments. And so he made investments in antiquities and artwork. He ended up literally having billions of dollars worth. He built a huge museum, and that was the museum that I went and visited. I had a couple of hour window, and it's all free. Of course, you have to spend $15 for parking. I don't know what else he did with his time, but certainly part of it had to have been collecting all of this stuff. And I walked away from all of that and thought, boy, this would be an interesting guy to get to know. The more I read about his life, he had another huge villa in Malibu. He left a foundation worth another $4 billion. You have $4 billion, you can pretty much live comfortably off the interest alone and run a whole lot of businesses. But he really, if you look at him, you would see a man that really lived with a total miscalculation of what was really important. And the idea of miscalculating something is the very term that was used by another writer years earlier. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1, because that term, being miscalculating something, a math term, is the term that the writer James uses in James 1. And I want to just quickly look at this next section of Scripture in James 1 on marks of a difference maker. Because trials or temptations will not topple one unless he's not anchored in God's truth and is applying that truth to his life. And basically, the response to trials and the response to temptations, James now says, let's look at the response to truth and revealed it by these marks, talks about perseverance in suffering, endurance in temptation. And briefly, I want to look at the responsiveness to the word, because this is what James' emphasis is in the last part of James, verse 19 to 27. What I'd like to do, let me read this and just give you very simply what I think to be the emphasis, what James says. Notice familiar text, I think, for most of you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. And notice the phrase, deceiving your own selves. Don't kid yourselves, is what he's saying. Don't miscalculate what God's wanting to do and can do and should do. He went on to say in verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. And whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Why in the world did James go into this passage when he says in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brother? He very simply is saying, listen, because of God's goodness, because of all that God's doing for us, he never changes. Like all the lights in the sky and the shadows that are created, God himself is not going to change. He's always good. He's always going to give you what you need for the time of temptation, because he will end up giving you wisdom. He'll pour it out on you as much as you need when you're going through trials. And on that basis, you then can understand when he says in verse 19, be swift to hear. Why he's saying all this is very simply because the whole context of this section is you need to end up being responsive to the Word of God. I think the underlying of all of this is what James is saying is don't deceive yourself. Don't just take it in and you have no practice to it. Then it is going to put you in a worse condition than the first condition. And this was the general challenge to the very early Christians. Just shortly years after Christ himself was physically on this earth, that the major concern was people were hearing God's word and there were no change. And that's scary to realize that here we are 2,000 years later. Has anybody seen Jesus personally? And if you have, come see me. Because you haven't. You haven't. And so everything is based on this documentation. When's the last time that you read God's word and you know God spoke to you? When's the last time that happened? Was it last week? How about last month? When's the last time you opened up your Bible, you read that Bible, and God spoke to you? Is it so long that you're having a hard time pulling it up? What was preached last Sunday? About the Sunday before? I mean, when's the last time, if this is a true statement, that this book is more than a textbook, it's the voice box of God? When's the last time you heard God's voice speak to your spirit by the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you said, God spoke to me? This is what he said to me. Has that ever happened? Because I'm going to tell you, when that happens, now you're experiencing what God really wants for you. If it is, well, the more energetic and the more lively and the more vivified that message is, then that meant something to me. And James is going straight after the heart of a group of people in Jerusalem who had great trials and difficulties, and they were scattered all over that part of the world, and they were having great problems. It wasn't just that they were persecuted, but they were Jews. And even the Jews themselves were against the Jewish Christians. And it was so vital that they had to hear something from God. On that backdrop, very simply, he says to be responsive to the word, you've got to have attitudes that are going to be necessary for you to respond to the word of God. What are they? They are so simple, but it's so clear. Notice very simply, number one, you find they were receiving the word of God. Notice verse 19 to 21, when he makes the statement, let every man, and notice he says these adjectives, or really specifically, the injunctions. He says, first of all, you be swift to hear. You be, number two, slow to speak. And you be, number three, slow to wrath. Why did he say that? Very simply, he said it, and these aren't bad ideas for conversation. These aren't bad ideas for communication. But very specifically, what he's saying is, listen, believers are to respond positively to Scripture. You be swift to hear. You be the first one. I want to hear God's word. There was such a hunger for it, and they were eagerly pursuing every opportunity to know God's word and know Him better. But he says, you be cautious about becoming speaker of God's word, a preacher or a teacher. You be slow to speak. Be careful about it. Evidently, in that church, there were people wanting to step up and they wanted to voice their opinion. And in the early church, particularly in the smaller settings of homes, there was a lot of dialogue and a lot of discussion. People were getting heated about their idea of what the Old Testament said and what was being stated. And there was a lot of dialogue, and that's why he made the statement, not only be swift to hear and slow to speak, but slow to wrath. Don't get so upset about what your opinion is when he makes the statement in verse 20, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. And the injunctions are, very simply, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Don't get upset by that. And he goes into then verse 21 when he makes the statement, wherefore you lay apart. You've got to love the King James. This verse is one of those great classics. All lay apart, all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. Amen. That's some good Shakespeare there, buddy. You know what he's saying? This is my translation. He is saying, listen, you lay apart, just like taking a coat off, you lay apart, you take off and lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. Very simply, he's talking about a boatload of bad stuff. That's what he's talking about. Superfluity is there's an abundance of it. It's a boatload of superfluity of naughtiness. You got to love the word naughty. Don't be naughty. That's a scriptural term right there. Very simply, he's making the statement, listen, you be in a place to humbly implant God's word by laying apart all of that filth, all the moral, shabby abundance of evil, and you take in God's word. It is that simple. You receive it. In fact is, when you move forward with it, in verse 21, when he talks about taking in the engrafted word, it's the idea of taking a shoot and cutting it into the trunk of another plant, and it's going to, actually, as the Gentiles are being planted in as well as the Jews, we were grafted in, we were implanted in, and the word of God ends up changing you. You look at people that you admire spiritually, and I promise you, the number one common denominator of all of those people is they know the word of God. It is what's going to change you.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.